Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
All right, welcome back. 1 o'clock hour. Bickley and Murata, Luke Lipinski filling in for Vinny. Giving Sarah Cazell a moment.
You're the best.
Just Luke Lipinski, Filininski.
Filininski. What was your old rhyme? Bring it up again.
When Murata's a Ghana, Lipinski is Inski. Or when Bickley is sickly, Lipinski is Inski.
Well done, Carl.
What's a more intimidating middle name, Filininski or Mountain?
Filininski. Yeah. All right, Sarah, it is yours.
Thank you, guys. Social Studies is brought to you by Sonic America's Drive-In. You can get the classic chicken slinger or the spicy chicken slinger for only $2.49. A crispy, juicy, all-white meat filet, and it's just 350 calories only at Sonic now. Well, ESPN's Buster Olney, I know you guys have been talking about it, and I've had it in my updates, that cut of Buster Olney saying he is 0% confident that Major League Baseball will finish the 2020 season. So the first question for today, which of the four major sports leagues do you think is most likely to play their full proposed slate of games? MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL.
I think the NHL and NBA are going to do it. I think those two.
I think you're right. I think I would rate the NBA above the NHL, but if the NHL dressing rooms came down with COVID, you know what they would say, right, Carlin?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Can we still play?
Oh, COVID. Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
So stupid. Now, that was a joke, everybody. NBA for me.
Okay, so obviously because they've got their... plan in place. Yeah. I assume that's why you've picked NBA and NHL.
Well, again, those two teams are playing in the playoffs, essentially. Or the two leagues are essentially playing in the playoffs. So their base of players is going to get cut in half every 2 weeks anyway once the playoffs get going.
So that logic is perfectly sound. And yet, the NFL is running away with it.
Wow.
51% of our voters say the NFL will finish its full slate of games for 2020.
There's just an expectation that the NFL is going to plow right through this.
Absolutely.
I would say NFL over baseball.
But
if you believe that there's going to be a second wave, it's going to hit the NFL season almost certainly. It might not hit these other sports, but I think the NFL is going to start no matter what. Yeah. Whereas baseball, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know either. Yeah.
Right. Who
I'm
knows?
With you.
Well, again, it's 51% for the NFL. 22% went with the NBA, most likely to finish its games. 15% said NHL, and only 11% voted for baseball. So pretty telling there. Our next question, sticking with the NBA, Devin Booker, he was a topic of discussion on First Take on ESPN this morning. The guys were talking about if Book is wasting his best years here with the Phoenix Suns. So I'm going to tack a question on to this four-option question. First, do you agree that his talent is being wasted here? And secondly, what do you think is the biggest reason for his lack of team success thus far? Do you want to answer the first?
I'll take a crack at this. I don't think up until this point that his talent has been effectively wasted in the way that we view that. But I do believe he's entering the zone now where more organizational malfeasance would be wasting it. I think Devin Booker now has got enough game. He's refined his skills. He's got the knowledge, the experience. He's been an all-star. He's got it all to be that guy now if given the proper pieces around him. So in my opinion, the time is right now. Not a year from now. It's right now for the Suns to serve his talents.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He's at such a critical juncture of his career. It's not like he was going to win the title at 21 anyway. But now he's even more so on everybody's radar because, again, he has been an all-star, and he is, it seems like, dating a very high-profile celebrity. And, you know, the 2K thing is silly, but it was the only NBA we had for a little bit. And all the Team USA talk last summer, he's either going to get blamed for the Suns losing going forward nationally.
Oh, yeah.
Or he's going to drag them into the playoffs. So if we go like another 2 years and the Suns aren't making the playoffs, then at that point you're wasting Devin Booker.
Now, and as for your second part of that question, definitely roster construction more than anything. I'd be stunned if that wasn't running away with it.
So for those who haven't seen the poll, here are the four options for you guys to pick from. The biggest reason for Devin Booker's lack of team success, thus far in his NBA career. Roster construction is the first option. Coaching, a tough Western Conference, tough competition, or Devin Booker himself. So, Bic, you say roster construction?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you go with tough Western Conference, that's a cop-out because it's not like they're only taking two playoff teams every year all of a sudden. It's roster construction. I could see why people would vote for coaching, though, just because his coach changes every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But roster construction.
Yeah, roster construction. That is what 78% of the voters went with. It's been a while since we've had that much of a runaway. It is single digits for all of the other ones. 9% say coaching is the biggest issue. Just below that, a couple decimal points say Devin Booker is the biggest issue for his lack of success. And then only 4% went with the Western Conference. However, you can imagine there were quite a few write-ins naming Robert Sarver.
Oh, he wasn't an option. Course. Okay, interesting.
Why wouldn't there be?
Who's blaming Devin Booker?
4% of the voters. I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, 8.9% of the voters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, 4.3 is tough Western Conference. Yeah.
What are they blaming him for?
Ooh, okay. If you voted Devin Booker, tweet us.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Right. Yeah, I'm not trying to trash. I just want to know the actual reason why.
I'm trying to trash them.
Well, I'm going to trash them. I'm just setting a trap.
Right. Right. You're just setting a trap.
Yep. All right, moving on to our next question. Carl Reiner, rest in peace, a longtime writer, director, actor, producer. He died last night at 98 years old, and you guys are all big Steve Martin fans. He directed a lot of Steve Martin's earlier movies. So open-ended question.
He directed The Jerk, All of Me, The Man with Two Brains, and Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
There we go. Some context.
I don't know if I would categorize myself as a big Steve Martin fan.
Oh,
but
no.
Whatever. I know these guys. I know he is.
Okay. So the open-ended question for you guys, what is the best Steve Martin movie of all time?
I haven't seen a ton of Steve Martin movies, but I have seen The Jerk, and I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember laughing a lot. And I do sort of feel like, Jared, I guess you would know, does that movie, Is it hold up now? Like, is it still funny now?
That's one of my favorite movies.
Really? Okay.
It is stupid in a genius way.
You do model a lot of your life after that.
Well, I'm a jerk.
I'd vote Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I don't have a deep catalog of favorite Steve Martin movies. In fact, Steve Martin butchered the Pink Panther series, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was just completely unnecessary to do.
Yes.
Especially that initial series went on way too long. So to remake it, he wasn't the right guy for that. But he is great in Roxanne, L.A. Story.
Roxanne was good.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, really, like you said. The Parenthood, Father of the Bride.
I have seen Roxanne. That was good. Okay, so there's two.
Bowfinger, underrated.
Roxanne gets a lot of love in our responses. So does The Jerk. So does Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Our Vince Murata, he originally voted Roxanne, but then somebody else, it was Rhett Reese, put Parenthood, so he says half a vote for each, for Roxanne and for Parenthood.
I didn't know we could do that. Okay.
Well, My Blue Vinny, Heaven.
Vinny gets half a vote for each. Nobody else can.
Little Shop of Horrors, you ever see that?
Oh, he was in that?
He played the dentist.
But you were going to say he played
I'll
the plant.
I'll have to see that.
He did not play the plant.
And moving on to our final question today. You guys were earlier in the show talking about tubing and rafting as there are now some more restrictions put back on us Arizonans during this coronavirus pandemic. So the question is, have you ever been tubing or rafting, and what is your best story? We've got some good responses.
I've got a story. I wouldn't say it's the best story.
Lay it on us.
So I've done it twice, and one of the times there was a huge group of us. And you know, if you've done that river before, the Salt River, like, you have the tubes essentially all together.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll get caught on stuff. Sort of like you were saying, Bic.
Right.
So we had, you know, one of us would jump out and just start pulling us again. But at one point he stepped on something. He's like, I don't know what I stepped on. He reached down and pulled out a can of Mountain Dew. But it was sealed.
Gosh.
And he's like, all right. And he opened it and drank it, which is wrong on a lot of levels.
We'll
have time to unpack all of them. But
is your friend still with us?
He moved to like Denver.
Okay, but alive.
I believe so, yeah. I think I go to Denver after you do something like that.
I did the Salt River once with a bunch of buddies, and it was predictably disgusting. I remember getting out, because where the whole thing ends, it's kind of like that little, like,
Yeah.
You just kind of look around and you go, I do not want to be here a second longer. Right? And I got out, and about 10 minutes after that, I felt like I was just wearing a crust of just grossness.
And has that ever gone away?
No.
You
really
can't take enough showers that day.
Yeah. Crust really, of right, grossness. Right. What a band name. Yeah. Right.
And those marshmallows that float in that just like...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jarrett, do you have one?
I've never done it, but I have a very... disgusting.
Jarrett swam the Amazon.
But you've tubed down the Amazon.
I did. But no exciting story came
from
that.
Yeah, I didn't put that either. He didn't strike me as a thrill ride vacation kind of guy.
Well, I was on a cruise.
Let her know what happened.
Yeah.
What's up? I was on a cruise.
You mean Amazon like the river, right? Not like the website.
Right, not the website. So you were cruising the Amazon, not Amazon.com.
Right. Yes, we went to one of the stops on the cruise was Belize. So one of the excursions that we went on was like a hike through the rainforest, and then you tube down the river.
That is really cool.
I'm saying it's the Amazon.
You and your phobias for animals and things.
I really
slime and mud. I don't see you digging it.
In retrospect, I can't believe I did it, because now that I'm talking about it, it sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where it all came from.
Right.
On another cruise, I famously went snorkeling. And I hated it so much because all the fish, they come right up to you. And it's disgusting.
Yeah, you're in their home.
So my mom says that she was on the boat, and all of a sudden she hears out of the top of the snorkel, just coming out from the water.
That was you.
Because I'm screaming.
That's incredible. Okay, I have a really stupid rafting story.
Yeah,
I'll keep it quick.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years ago, like a year and a half ago, my best friend and I, we went on a little Eastern European excursion. And one of our first stops, it was like a 16 or 17 day trip, so pretty lengthy.
Oh.
One of our first stops was in Slovenia, and she loves the outdoors. I'm down with like hiking, but she really wanted to raft. Okay, so we rafted in a national park in Slovenia. It was stunning. We pulled the raft over. We were on a guided trip, and there was one stop where we could climb up this, like, probably 30, 35-foot rock.
Okay.
It was huge, and we could jump off of it back into the water. I'm not super into that, but I didn't want to be the person who was like, no, I'm scared. So I was like, come on, Sarah, buck up.
Right.
It's fine. You're just going to jump and land in the water, and it'll be fine. So I did jump. But in the meantime, I kind of let my legs float out in front of me instead of staying like a pencil. So I hit the water from like 30, 35 feet up with my butt, fractured my tailbone just with the impact on the water.
Wow.
And got to hustle myself around Europe for the next 2 weeks with a broken tailbone.
That's a fun trip.
It was the worst plane ride
home. That's terrible.
It was the worst. But I jumped.
You jumped. And Jarrett's scared of snorkeling. So.
But my butt is intact.
Yeah, mine still is not. Yeah. That was brutal.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank
we appreciate
you
that. All right, coming up on the other side, what would you do to win a college football game? Boomer Esiason has got some suspicions you have got to hear about. That's next. Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
All right, before we get into the college football, I'm going to share a rafting story with you, although it's not rafting in the sense you might think it is. Last time I was in Hawaii, we had made plans with friends to go on an adventure boat ride. And we walked down to the dockish area where they all took off from, and we were all expecting, my wife, my kids, we were expecting there to be a boat, you know,
yeah,
a boat. And it was a military-grade raft. Steel-hulled, the whole nine yards, faster than you wouldn't believe, but it was a raft, okay? So I got into this raft with my two oldest children. My wife looked at it and went, hell no. And she walked away with my youngest, and good thing they did. So we took off on this raft, and this thing just, whoosh, I mean, this thing hauled. I'll never forget this because there was a very eclectic group of passengers on this raft, including an MMA fighter from Rome. I'll never forget it. The guy was tatted up to the nines, and every female passenger on the raft thought he was drop-dead gorgeous and the whole nine. So we're on this raft, and we're going, and the guy starts telling us stories about how, you know, you got to be careful not to fall off the raft in this area. And I'm like, why? Is this like infiltrated with sharks? The guy said, not sharks, a shark. And he proceeded to tell the entire boat about Barnacle Bob. Yes, Barnacle Bob, a shark so old and so big that it's got barnacles on it.
I heard Sarah's reaction through the soundproof
glass. Is she laughing back there?
I don't know if that
was. I shrieked and then I laughed. I don't know why I'm scared of the thought of one singular shark more than just a bunch of them.
It sounds like he ate all the other sharks.
It does. That's what he does. Oh my God. And then I'm thinking,
his name be Barnacle Bob.
And I'm thinking, all right, is this guy just goofing on us and scaring us all like you wouldn't believe? So it was really fun and cool, but we got to the point where we were supposed to snorkel as well. So I told my oldest son, all right, come on, let's do this. Let's jump off the boat. He's never done it before. He's like, all right. So we do it. We get in the water, and I say, all right, now let's go underwater so we can check out. As soon as we go underwater, there was a school of fish right in front of us, and the fish right in front of my son, right in front of his mask, decides to go to the bathroom at that very moment. So my son's introduction, it was an Archie Bradley moment, Jerry. It was an Archie Bradley moment. The fish pooped its pants.
The fish was wearing pants?
Right. And so my son was like, that's it. I want no part. I've been hearing about Barnacle Bob. I've been hearing about this giant shark. And the second I put my face underwater,
pooped my pants.
Exactly. Wow.
That story had everything.
It did.
I really thought you were going to say you saw a shark.
MMA fighters from Rome. Yeah.
No, your son afterwards didn't say.
Man, this is delicious poop.
No, he didn't say.
The guy did tell me, though, that there was a cruise where there was a bunch of guys who weren't listening to, like, instructions, and they were drinking, and they didn't come back to the raft when they were supposed to. And the guys looked around, and all of a sudden there were these dolphins circling around these guys who were still in the water, and they were doing that because there was a shark approaching from the perimeter, and these dolphin took it upon themselves to circle around this guy who didn't even the boat captain said that these guys who were out there, they were like the biggest jerks in the world.
Shocking.
They're like cheering for the dolphin to leave.
Dolphins.
It's a joke, man. Come on, you don't even find that funny?
Dolphins. No, I'm imagining
an intense story.
It was.
At first I thought it was the Miami Dolphins, so I had to recalibrate the whole story in my head.
I have a tubing,
thing. Right.
A tubing story that's even more disgusting than that.
You do.
And it's similar.
Okay.
But much more disgusting. I don't know if I should tell it. It involves, it wasn't me. This is a story I've heard told to me. It was one of my friends tubing down. You know, you tube with a bunch of people. You have all your tubes together. You're tubing down the Salt River. So he's, you know, lying back in it with his head, like, back in the water.
Like, where
the
sun's going at all.
All of a sudden, the people behind them, I guess, so the water's coming. It was in front of them. So they're going into the person in front of them, I guess, had an upset stomach of some sort.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And a bunch of
probably from eating the marshmallows.
Brown water, sort of. And he was facing the other way with his head in the water, didn't see it, and it just...
Wow.
He just sails right into it.
Oh. All right. Back in college football.
Really? Okay.
Well,
yes.
Jarrett won.
You win, Jarrett.
Your story was a lot more intense, and it had, like, different twists and turns.
Characters. And
Jarrett's was just gross.
Jarrett's disgusting. Was 5 seconds of, sadness.
But I like the way you describe Barnacle Bob.
Aye. The shark. It be 20 feet if it's an inch.
All right, we've got to hit the story really quick because Boomer Esiason said he would not doubt if college football programs, the ones in the SEC, the ones that have to win football games, are intentionally letting their kids get sick.
I got to be really careful here because I don't want to say that this is an accusation. I don't want to. I just was thinking the other day about what is going on with the SEC teams down south, and Clemson included, who's obviously an ACC team. A lot of their players are coming down with COVID-19, oddly enough. So are they trying to herd immunity their teams so these guys can get sick now as opposed to getting sick during the college football season, if in fact there is one? And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't put it past any of those guys down there.
Sure. How many times do you think his co-host says, okay, Boomer, in a show?
Yeah, probably quite frequently. I would say this, that, and I don't want to sound insensitive here, but I wouldn't be surprised either. And then you think about what an awful thing that is to think about college coaches in charge of fostering young athletes.
There'd be so many lawsuits.
Yeah.
There would be so many lawsuits.
I just think, and isn't the stories that all of these players were returning to campus and testing positive? It's not like, you know, they practiced for a week, then all of a sudden.
Yeah, and like you said, the rates among the younger population, that's what's surging.
That's what's been surging, absolutely.
Yeah.
College kids of the world.
Right.
When you put this story up against the U of A story where one person tests positive and they put everything on pause,
yeah.
I mean, it does speak to how...
It was our one good player, though. Come on.
Who is that?
Who would that be?
You're right.
Who would that be?
Your good player left like 15 years ago.
It's real easy to take a philosophical, moral-based stand when your football team stinks.
But it's also how maniacal they are in the South about college football.
Yeah,
it's just like, you guys are sick. You're all going to keep getting sick if you're practicing around each other, but we need to win.
Well, what did Mike Gundy say about we need to get that money flowing through the state of Oklahoma? That's the yuckiness in college athletics, in my opinion.
It's
Mike Gundy specifically.
Yeah.
That's the yuckiness.
Yeah, that is the yuckiness.
Yeah, he should probably just not talk for a while after the summer he's had.
All right, we've got another Jarrett Carlin brainchild coming up on the other side. Another edition of Start, Sit, or Cut. That's next on 98.7 FM.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, today's poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. Should Yasmani Tomas have made the D-backs 60-man roster? Your options are yes, he'd be a good DH, or no, the team needs to evaluate its younger prospects.
I don't know why you don't have one spot out of 60 for Yasmani Tomas.
And also, the no isn't because they need to... If you're voting no, it could be like, no, he stinks.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to go with no if that was the reasoning. I'm not spending the season evaluating my prospects. I think the Diamondbacks are a good team.
I would agree with that.
They only have 60 games anyway.
And I think we're all just assuming that Jake Lamb is going to be really good because he says he's going to be really good.
Worked for Sean Miller. If you
good
say
point.
Something, it happens.
I think you're going to get a lot of pop out of that DH position from Kevin Crone, but you might need Jake Lamb to play the position more than not. I think that if you've got 60 guys to choose from, you could have given him a...
I can't believe you're still paying him, and this is the best possible chance to get something out of him.
We're the only three people, I think, though, that believe he should have been on the roster. The results right now are 63 to 37% for no. So I guess we're not the only three, but most people, you go online, anybody you talk to, they're like, no, he's done. To Jarrett's point, if you, like 2 years ago, were saying, what would it take for the Diamondbacks to put Yasmani Tomas on the roster? You would have said like a pandemic, a shortened season, they had to go to a 60-man roster and a DH in the NL.
Right.
That all happened and he's still not on the roster. So he's never going to play for the Diamondbacks.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
So that's the poll question.
All right, it's now time for a game that I call... I didn't come up with it. It's an internet meme and Twitter thing. But it's called Start, Sit, Cut. So I'm going to give you three things, and you have to start one, you have to sit one, and you have to cut one. And it could be literal, or it could just be, you know, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphorical, I guess, is the word I was looking for.
The best way all good games start. Yeah, you figure it out.
All right, so first we'll start with the NBA. The NBA's return, this 8 games and then the playoffs. Start, sit, cut. LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'll start this.
And I'm not talking about for the next 10 years. I'm talking about specifically this restart.
There's no
start
right
LeBron
answer.
James, sit Kawhi Leonard, cut Giannis. Even though Giannis to me is awesome, you got to prove it in the NBA playoffs. And I know what I'm getting with LeBron and Kawhi.
Well, you have to start LeBron because I do think he's on a mission. Incidentally, having watched that documentary, what if he hadn't gone to Miami? He only had one title to his name right now. How different would the view of LeBron be?
Wow.
So you have to start him. You can't cut Kawhi because he's the one that's going to beat LeBron.
Champion, yeah. Right? He's the one who's going to be right.
So I guess you cut Giannis.
That sounds crazy, doesn't
it? Insane.
All right. All-time great college coaches. Start, sit, cut. Coach K. Nick Saban, John Wooden.
Oh.
Okay,
you can
start
with this one, Luke.
Okay, well, I'll cut Saban just because he's my least favorite of the three, and these guys are all great, so it's not like I'm putting somebody unqualified in above him. I mean, I never watched John Wooden coach, but didn't UCLA not lose a game for like 2.5 years? So I'm going to say start Wooden, sit Coach K because Coach K looked up to Wooden, and then cut Nick Saban because he's a jerk.
I think you convinced me.
Coach K looked up to Bobby Knight, was his mentor, not John Wooden.
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, they all looked up to Wooden, didn't they? Isn't that like, that's the thing.
I'm going to start Mike Krzyzewski, sit John Wooden, cut Nick Saban.
Okay. Arguably the greatest college football coach of all time.
No, there's no arguably about it.
Okay. All right. We're talking Phoenix Suns play. Also, this is when I say players' names, it's their prime. It's not, you know, at any other point.
So when you say Dragan Bender, we have to remember that game he had.
The prime, the good game he had at one time. But I am talking Phoenix Suns players here. Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, Devin Booker.
Have you guys ever played this game before? Or is this
first
is the time?
Third. This is the third time.
Oh, it's the third time. Okay.
This is the third time. We did play it twice in 2 days, though, didn't we?
We did back to back Thursday and Friday last week.
Okay.
God, these guys are so different.
Completely.
So it really is personal preference. What do you want for your team? Amari is like one of my all time favorite sons. Which doesn't answer the question.
No,
that's not the
it
game.
Really doesn't. But Amari at that level was only there for a minute, but it was also really good. It was a really good minute.
It's tough because Booker, I mean, we spent the first 3 hours of the show saying it's not his fault, but he hasn't been to the playoffs. So I don't know what he would be like in the playoffs. I guess start Booker, sit Marion Cutamari.
Wow.
Who is my favorite son.
Okay, because I'm going to pivot because he said in their prime.
Right.
I'm going to go start Amare, sit Booker, cut the Matrix, whom I really like as a person. Sean, if you're listening, I am sorry.
That's a very tough one, though. But I agree. I think in his absolute prime, Amare was the best of those three.
See, I thought maybe I was close. Biased just because.
No, you cut him, so I'm sorry. Sorry to say. Okay, here we go. Food
it's
one.
It's tough
here.
Too because we don't know what Booker's prime looks like. Like
it's
those
true.
Other guys have played their careers.
So you have to. All right, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fried chicken.
Okay.
Chicken fajitas. Chicken parmesan.
I'll start with this one. I can do this one pretty quickly.
Okay.
Chicken fajitas is starting. Chicken parm is sitting. Fried chicken is cut.
Okay, I'll start chicken parmesan. That was easy for me. I'll sit chicken fajitas, and I'll cut fried chicken.
Both of you cut fried chicken?
But
how about
if
that?
You put fried chicken in front of me right now, I would eat it all.
Yeah, all of it. That's, yes.
This is a game that sets you up for criticism from others who aren't playing.
Well, yes, of course, that's the whole point of it. If I'd made it easy, it wouldn't be fun. But we'll go also with, we'll stay in the food category for real, because I'm hungry right now. we're talking about Chinese appetizers right now. Start, sit, cut. Egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Barbecue spare ribs. Pot stickers.
I'm starting egg rolls, I'm sitting pot stickers, and I'm cutting the ribs.
Wow. Okay, I'm starting ribs. Sit egg roll, because it's a classic. You can't cut that. And then I'll cut pot stickers.
Oh, you're lucky Vinny isn't here. He would smack you right across the head. Probably
Nobody's ever felt that passionately about pot stickers.
There's a big difference between getting the spare ribs at a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, yeah,
and getting
absolutely.
A rack of...
Oh, it's totally different. It's
completely
that,
different.
It's that... And you know, I just said the Chinese barbecue sauce that they use. It's like
different,
a roasted kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
right.
Delicious. I love it. Especially the East. Oh, my goodness. I'm hungry.
Jarrett would start everybody.
All right. Final one.
Yeah.
We're talking about bands. Okay?
Okay.
Bands.
Okay.
British bands, American bands, and singers, or everywhere else in the world.
Wait, so all of the bands are included in this?
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, that's not comprehensive or general at all.
I will say British bands one.
So start British bands.
See, the rest of the world, you're talking AC/DC in Australia. Nothing from Jarrett's yearning for New Zealand.
No. I mean, U2 is from Ireland.
U2 is Ireland.
ABBA.
That's Switzerland.
Okay. So ABBA might get cut. Okay.
Well, no, you don't have to. I'm just saying.
I would say there's not enough other to warrant jumping over American bands.
Okay.
British, American,
cut
other.
Cutting AC/DC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to cut other. I'm trying to come up with a band, an American band that would allow me to vault them over Britain because I couldn't identify Elvis earlier, so I feel like it's my chance to redeem myself. Man, Britain, though, the classic bands.
Yeah, I mean, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones right there.
Yeah, I guess all time.
America, you would have, like, you know, Bruce Springsteen. And I said singers, so Bruce Springsteen, Prince, Michael Jackson, Bob Dylan.
Do I have to take the bad American bands, though, too?
Everything. Nickelback. Oh,
so
Nickelback's
like,
Canadian.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Oh, so others
oh,
definitely.
Oh, they're in the other.
Right
yes.
Yeah, you're right, because, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but Imagine
Rush
Dragons.
Would be Rush, Canadian.
Yes, other.
Yeah. Imagine Dragons is American, though. Yeah, okay, so Britain won, and then America sit.
All right, Jared, since you're starving and you're from Maryland, crab cakes, Utz crab chips, or burger cookies?
I don't know what burger cookies are.
They're supposed to be a Maryland
I never
icon.
Heard of them.
Okay.
The crab chips are delicious, but the crab... See, if I were to present this to myself, I would have said crab soup, crab cakes... Or crabs,
oh,
or just
see.
The blue claw crabs themselves.
I see.
And I would vote the crabs themselves number one, crab soup two, crab cakes three, because crab cakes have the greatest variance of being good or not.
You ever had Thrasher's French fries?
Yes, absolutely. So that's on the boardwalk in Ocean City.
Okay.
And what they do is it's the hand cut fries, and they put malt vinegar on them.
Oh, that's you know that.
So if that's something
I
that
love
you love,
that.
That's what they're
yes.
known
Man,
for.
This is
yes.
this sounds outstanding.
Yeah, malt vinegar idea. Good stuff.
Also,
we're all kind of hungry here, huh?
Yeah, I want to be clear. Imagine Dragons is why I dropped America down. I don't want people to think that I like
that.
Them. Yeah,
America is why I dropped America down. Right? All right. Well, coming up, we'll wrap up the show with a little Off the Grid. That is next. Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the day.
All right, Led Zeppelin, our song of the day. What's the name of the song again? Over the Hills and Far Away?
That's it.
That's it. Led Zeppelin, the best British band in history. If you think about the size of the United Kingdom and London, and the per capita, the amount of bands, great bands spawned from there, it's stunning.
It's amazing.
How good they are at producing good bands.
The British invasion of the 60s, which led sort of into the 70s and Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and stuff, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Really, really is. All right, so there you go. All right, before I get into my stuff, Luke Lipinski says he's got an off-the-grid story.
I'm completely distracted because I'm watching the video now.
Okay.
DeAndre Hopkins. Did you see this?
I did see this.
Catching a giant stingray. I don't know. They don't say where they are, but they're out in the middle of the ocean.
I think they're in Texas. Yeah, I think they're out in probably the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's on a boat. He's reeling in a giant stingray that does not look very happy.
No, it does not.
Wow.
And, yeah, I'm not sure what kind that was, but those things, I don't know if you want to be messing with them.
He stayed away from the tail.
Yeah, it's good.
He does. He catches everything.
No! Just see that, Carlin?
Bill O'Brien.
Oh, we lost him.
Bill O'Brien would have thrown it back for a
goldfish. He's thinking of... I could go for a big plate of steamed crab right now, Carlin.
Yeah. Well, see, have you ever had Blue Claw crabs before with the Old Bay seasoning?
Yes, Old Bay seasoning is phenomenal.
I love it so much. Oh, my God, it's great on shrimp. It's great on fried chicken.
It's good.
Every year, in a normal year, every year we go to the beach for a week in Maryland, Delaware, with my dad's side of the family. We have a big crab feast one of the days where we get a bushel of crabs. We get a whole bunch of fried chicken. We get the silver sweet white corn on the cob. So delicious.
And you wonder why he's so food motivated.
Yeah. You're
so tied into your childhood happiness.
I thought you were going to say, I wonder why your dad's so fat.
No, I didn't say about your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad fat, Jared?
Yes.
Wow.
He's a big guy.
That was an elaborate way to set yourself up to call your dad fat on the radio.
I know.
And he's got a huge mustache, too.
Does he?
Believe it or not.
I
could play a cut of Jackie the Jet Carlin. You'd have to identify.
Right, except I'd probably think it was the same guy as the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and he sounds kind of like me. Yeah,
I think he was Elvis. I like that your dad has a nickname, Jackie the Jet.
He ran high school track.
Oh, okay.
And that was what he was known as, Jackie the Jet. Now, as my friends pointed out, it's more of a jumbo jet. But
Okay. I've got some information on Bryson DeChambeau, everybody's favorite golfer, and on my list of people who have actually risen to prominence during a pandemic, the Silver Lining Club, the group that has actually benefited from a pandemic, and you know the list that I've thrown out there so far, Bryson DeChambeau used to be a golfer that nobody liked because he played so slow. He was the guy, and there are others, he was everything that was wrong with golf. Now he has become like the Incredible Hulk and everybody loves him. It is the most crazy little image transformation I've ever seen based on appearances in a while. Here is what Bryson DeChambeau eats for food every single day. Are you ready for this, Carlin?
Okay.
Because you know, at least maybe you've heard, that he drinks 6 protein shakes a day. But that's not it. Here is what his typical diet is. For breakfast, 4 eggs, 5 pieces of bacon, toast, and his 2 protein shakes.
Okay, that would fill me up for the entire day.
For the whole day. Same here.
Too much protein. Protein shakes.
Oh. Yes, midday. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a Go macro bar, 2 protein shakes, maybe snacking. If he's playing a practice round.
This might be why he moves slow.
For dinner, steak, potatoes, and 2 more protein shakes. Do you know how much? He is having dangerous amounts of protein.
I hope he doesn't eat steak every day. His cholesterol is going to die. That's like, have you ever seen The Rock's diet plan? Or back when, what's his name, the swimmer?
Michael Phelps.
Have
we already forgotten Michael Phelps?
Yeah. Come on, it's him and Mark Spitz. How many options do you have?
I used to...
Ryan Lochte?
Yeah, Ryan Lochte.
Yeah.
I used to love that because specifically Michael Phelps, I remember he would eat like 3 Belgian waffles, like 2 omelets and like 3 egg sandwiches for breakfast.
Yeah.
But then he would swim for 12 hours.
Right. Bryson DeChambeau swings a golf club.
Oh, okay. Ryan Lochte was like if Gronk could swim. That's how I always thought of him.
That's a good way. Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
I didn't expect to ever hear his name again after those.
Did Olympics. You, speaking of Gronk, did you see the little thing he did with Shaq? The little game of horse he had with Shaquille O'Neal? Shaq, they imported a basketball rim. Like, you know, it was like the kind you'd get at Sports Authority or Dick's Sporting Goods, just like a portable basketball net. So Shaq threw up the ball off the backboard to dunk it, and when he dunked it, and he barely had any elevation, he ripped the rim right off the unit. Right off the unit.
There's no way to win if the person you're playing horse with rips the rim
off. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. That's exactly
I'm watching it right now. Yeah, he really doesn't elevate anymore.
No.
I mean,
no.
He's a large man.
The Oakland A's are next up in doing something that I think is a great idea. If we do get to the point of playing baseball games without fans, the idea of fans buying a cardboard cutout of themselves for X amount of money and putting it in the seat, I think is a great idea.
I like it. It's get innovative, right? We're backed into this corner. Let's get innovative and silly if we have to.
The Oakland A's are charging their fans $89 a piece for the cardboard cutout, but I think it's a great idea. Now, what's going to happen when somebody hits a screaming foul ball and just, you know, decapitates one of those cardboard cutouts?
Got to pay for a new head.
Right?
That would be fun. Oakland. Is it actually going to be cardboard?
Well, I...
For the A's, yes.
Yeah.
They're going to have more fans in the stands as
you're
cardboard
right.
Cutout.
Maybe cardboard cutout is just like a generic term. I'm sure they have much better materials now,
like
right?
What they make fat heads out of or something. They could just...
I would want like a full wax statue. Like full 3D version. I mean, that's probably like five. They should do this. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Different levels.
You can pay more.
And also you pay extra, make yourself look better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Give yourself more muscles.
Yeah, right. And finally, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes.
Has been renewed for an 11th season. You want to talk about big money? They call Larry David Larry Legend in Hollywood because of, I mean, Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm together?
Seriously.
My goodness.
Gotta be loaded.
He said this, quote, "Believe me, I'm as upset about this as you are. One day I can only hope that HBO will come to their senses and grant me the cancellation I so richly deserve."
It is worth like $500 million. It's a great show. That show has been on since I was in college, which is approaching 20 years ago now.
I haven't, I really have only seen like an episode and a half.
It is, really?
Yeah.
Were you a Seinfeld fan?
I did like Seinfeld, so that's my question. Not is it better or worse than Seinfeld, but how similar is it humor-wise?
It is similar
humor-wise,
but it's like if the main character was George instead of...
Okay.
Jerry.
Yeah, that's a good way to put
it. And it's also, the thing that's so great about it, it's all improv. It's all improvised, the whole show.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
The whole thing is?
The whole thing is. They write outlines for the scenes and the stories, but then all the dialogue is improvised.
Oh, I like that. I'll definitely watch it now.
Definitely watch it now. It's been on for 20 years.
And now, finally, on their 20th anniversary, I'm going to watch it.
I'd like to get J.B. Smoove back on. Remember
that
day we
hilarious.
Had him in the studio? He was fabulous.
That's one of those guys that you wind up and you wind him up and put a microphone in front of him.
Right.
And then he just takes over the room.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
As opposed to Joel McHale, who you wind up and he makes fun of my hair.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Me and Luke interviewed Joel McHale when we were filling in once over the summer.
That's right.
And it was the second time and he remembered you and your hair.
He did not.
He absolutely did. I said you were on our show once before with Dan Bickley, and so what was the deal with that guy's hair?
You just made my day, Carlin.
I forgot about
as if
that.
You calling your dad fat wasn't enough from you today.
That was one of the few people he wasn't in studio then, though. That was over the phone. That was one of the few people that Luke ever interviewed that wasn't Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, I'm the Jeremy Piven specialist. Anybody else, I just leave.
Yeah, and you know what? Next time you book Jeremy Piven, let me know, Carlin, because he's filling in for me again.
Right. Yeah, I got offered a chance, but, you know, pandemic and all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. we gratefully decline. All right, on behalf of Todd Walsh, who joined us today, on behalf of Luke Lipinski for filling in for Vinny, on behalf of Sarah and Jarrett, stay tuned. Burns and Gambo next. I'm Dan Bickley. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.